Can you say the letter C?
Jump right into this week. This is going to be a good one. I've got the man, the myth, the legend. I'm not even going to say his name yet. We'll give him an entry here in a second. But let's run down through what makes the wheels turn on this podcast. Grizzly Coolers, WCB. Man, gosh. So I went and cut ribs for Damien, team WCB member, this past weekend. 90-some degrees in Columbus, Ohio. I did not have my tumbler. I did not have my Drifter 20. I forgot my Grizzly stuff, and I paid dearly for it on the drive down, the drive back, and while I was there. 90-degree heat, cutting about 1,000 racks of ribs all weekend. I was really wishing I had my Grizzly stuff. So anyways, tis the season. If you don't have coolers, you don't have stuff to make drives, before hunting season kicks off, go over there to those guys and let them get you set up with whatever you need. Hardware, software, you name it, they've got it. Hell, they've even got cool shirts and stickers and hats and stuff. So check all that out from Grizzly. Appreciate the support from them. Black Ovis, WCB10. Right now, man, I say this every week because I'm still getting people asking me about arrows. For the love of Christ, if you haven't got arrows built or you don't have arrows at this point, have Black Ovis. I hear my guest over there chuckling and laughing. Have Black Ovis WCB10, the code at checkout. Have them use the Arrow ID Builder for you. Go on the website, run through the Arrow ID Builder. Have them build your arrows. If you don't have time, or maybe you're just like some people and you just don't fucking like doing it, let them do it. Also, be on the lookout. Crispy, Sitka. I know Kafaru packs are going to be coming back in stock and in store. Just had Aaron on last week. Crispy, Sitka. And there was another one I was going to mention. Gosh, I can't think of it. But anyway, there's some big, big, big sales with those companies coming up. Actually, by the time this drops, they will probably be already going on. Also, don't forget Camo Fire. If you guys aren't the sister to Black Ovis, if you're not on Camo Fire daily or weekly, you're really letting great deals go by. And I know the guy on the other end of the line is a Camo Fire guy and checks that daily and has used it, as have I, for I don't know how long he's used it for, but I've used it for a long time. Definitely be checking that out. Hunter's Box Club, my man, the man, Devin, got a really, really cool shirt coming out. Can't give you too many hints, but it's WCB affiliated here. I believe next month it drops. Check them out. $29.99, first box free. Ships to your door. Always a good shirt, always a couple little items in there for some little throw in your pack stuff usually. Hey, give Devin a check in the mail. Hit him up with your debit card. He could use it. The man's on the streets. He's got to feed his family, so he'll appreciate that I said that. Let's see. Last but not least, Novix. Right now's the time. If you're going to build your mobile hunting system, if you're going to get some stands in place and you want to trim and do stuff for the rut right now, maybe you just want to put sticks up to where all you've got to do is run your stand in. Maybe you're going to do the opposite. I've done this, hang a stand, take the sticks in with you. That way the asshole neighbor or trespassers doesn't take your stuff. However you want to do it, Novix is the way to go. I'm going to try out the four minis this year. I ran four regulars last year. I'm really liking the mini deal. I can get high enough with four of them to where I feel pretty comfortable in about any scenario. High enough, but yet I'm not up there at 40 foot either. So I'm going to try those out this year. I've always been a regular stick guy. Looking forward to trying those out on my mobile setup. Definitely give them a look. Like I said with Grizzly, they've got, you know, some kick-ass hats and shirts and all that kind of stuff too. So if you're just wanting to support them and already got a stand set up but need a hoodie, need a shirt, whatever, hey, they're your go-to. With that being said, all hail and all rise, because the Lord is in the building. Austin Chandler, my man, how we doing?
What's up, bro, Ham?
Well, this is your This is your inauguration. This is it. You pissed around with Kurt's series. You've messed around with that little Drury series. You've really made it to the big time now. You're now on the CC Hunt 5. This is it, Austin. I mean, you've made it.
I feel like I'm home.
This is it. I mean, I hope, you know, Mark and Terry and Kurt and Eric, and I hope those guys aren't mad, but this is where you were meant to be, brother. We're happy to have you.
I love it, dude.
Well,
pick back on the couch, just nice and cozy. This is my kind of vibe right here.
This is it. I mean, maybe it's a little early, maybe not, but knowing you, I mean, hell, I've seen you drink an old fashioned at 8 in the morning. So, I mean, maybe you got an old fashioned with you, maybe you don't. It's you know, you could go either way, you know?
Don't tempt me with a good time.
Well, I mean, I like I said, I've seen you get started pretty early and I've seen you wait till later. So it you never really know, you know. You and Ross can really surprise a guy. I've seen you crack them open in the AM and I've seen you wait till 9 o'clock at night. It just depends on the vibe.
Old fashions are delicious any time of day, but I do have I've got a few things to check off the list yet this evening, so I better not fire up just yet.
Yeah, sometimes you got to wait to get the grill hot until later on, you know.
That's right. We're coming up on this African trip, so I got to get out and shoot that bow this evening, make sure I'm still dialed in. I've only got like 5 or 6 days left before we leave for Africa.
Absolutely, man. Gosh, I'm stoked for you guys. I don't know if I've said this yet, but I'm not going to be able to go. I had to back out. So I've got a barn dominium that's in the process of getting built. I sold my farm back in April, March or April. I think I talked about that on a couple podcasts, maybe a solo one I did. So I'm in the process of getting, well, septic, et cetera, et cetera. All the fun shit is going to take place right around when I would be leaving for Africa.
We're going to... Buddy.
I'm sad. I'm super stoked for you guys, but I'm sad I'm not going to be there. But it's one of them deals where, and I know me and you had this discussion, I didn't want to be on that trip and be worried about what's going on at home or not be completely immersed in it. So it was one of them deals where I had to put on my adult pants, unfortunately, and I had to take my sex pants and my party pants off, and I had to think like a 33-year-old with two kids and be like, well, I probably should be around for all this stuff. And don't get me wrong, I want to be around for it, but gosh damn, I really wanted to be in Africa too. Gosh darn. I mean,
it's going to be a blast, and we're really looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
We'll catch you on the next. That's the good thing about doing what we're doing. Hell, we're going to have, you know, a couple trips every year planned, so we'll catch you on the next one. Ain't no thing.
Oh yeah, we've already got some stuff in the mix for next spring, and we'll release all that at a later date. But oh yeah, we've already got some stuff scheduled and all that and whatnot. But well, Austin, for most people listening to this, they know who the Lord is. They hear you weekly. They know a lot about you. But give me a quick rundown for those who are like, who the hell is Austin Chandler? Why is he called the Lord? You know what? Which, if you don't want to explain why you're the Lord, I mean, I can explain why you're the Lord, but give us a quick rundown for those that don't know you before we dive into this, because
when Kurt gives you a nickname, it kind of sticks whether you want it to or not. So
this is true.
I decided to kind of embrace the Lord thing.
This is true. This is true. Well, Austin, give us a quick rundown and then we're going to dive right into this, because I've been kind of waiting to get you on board. Man, we're going to talk specific bucks, targeting one buck and what that entails. And I couldn't think of anybody better than to have you on for that. So I'm super stoked to dive into this. But first, give everybody the 411. Give us the rundown, man. Who's Austin Chandler? What the hell's he do? And why are you a whitetail nut? Where's this all? How's this all take place? So take it from here.
All right, buddy. My name's Austin Chandler. Most of you probably know me from the Working Class Bow Hunter podcast. I've been on with those clowns for, I think, almost six years now.
Yeah.
It's been a heck of a ride. We've had a lot of fun, and we're looking forward to doing it for another 15 or 20 years, hopefully.
Hell yeah.
But I'm from a small town, kind of a rural community in west central Illinois. I've farmed my whole life, grew up a fourth generation farmer, so it kind of goes hand in hand. The hunting and farming kind of goes together, so I get to go out and do some scouting while I'm working, so it works out well. picked up the bow and arrow when I was young. I was 14 when I started bow hunting, and was fortunate enough to arrow a really nice buck when I was 15. So I kind of got bit by the monster buck bug when I was young. And after I shot that first buck, I was just like, well, I'm not going to go backwards. You know, I want to shoot another big one. So
yep.
I kind of started passing good deer at a young age, and it's been all downhill from there.
And now here we are. You're nicknamed the Lord with a whole wall full of fucking giants. How about that?
It doesn't seem like it's been 25 years, but when you look back on the wall and you start looking at some of those early ones, like, man, that's been a few moons ago. So I think this will be 25 seasons I've hunted. This will be my 25th season.
Man, well, 20, you know, that's a big anniversary, so it probably deserves for you to break that, you know, it's probably time for that 200, that 200 with a bow. This is probably the year to do it.
That'd be a nice 25th anniversary present.
I mean, I think so.
I can't say I've got any deer in mind right now that would hit that mark, but maybe I'll get surprised by a 4-year-old. Maybe I'll just have one blow about 50 inches.
It could happen. And speaking of knowing what bucks are coming and what bucks are going, that's kind of where I'm wanting to go on this one, is I want to dive in, Austin. So you and I, a lot of people lumped us together before we ever even really actually knew each other that well. I had a lot of people say, man, I listened to Austin talk. He has less words than, you know, my loud, crazy ass, but it's the same principles. It's the same very calculated strategy, very specific bucks, patterning a certain buck, watching a certain buck. And then I found out, you know, oh man, and then the farming thing, you know, there's a lot of similarities between Austin and I. And once you and I got to hunt together and hang out and stuff, it really come to the forefront how much you and I actually share in common.
Yep.
And one of those things definitely is the fact that we like to pick out a buck, or maybe it's okay, two bucks that I would kill this year. But a lot of times we've got our eye on a specific buck. Now here in Ohio, I'm probably even a little more picky than you, just because I've only got one buck tag. So
yep.
For me, it's usually all or nothing unless something bigger and better comes by. Then I'm not going to be, you know, an idiot and, oh, I'm hunting a 170, but a 190 just walked by. Well, I'm not going to kill him because it wasn't that. I mean, you know, I'm not going to let a golden nugget walk by me and not take a bite out of it, type of deal. But
yep.
You're also a very meticulous killer when it comes to calculated moves on specific bucks. And that's what I want to dive into. I feel like in today's world, especially bow hunting, it's popular, it's sexy, it's edgy, it's hot to say, I like to hunt one buck, and I'm going to hunt a specific buck. And I feel like a lot of people attempt this. They want to do it, and there's a lot of them that do it. And there's also a lot that find out real quick, fuck, this isn't as much fun as I thought it would be.
Right.
It's...
be a grind, man.
Yeah, well, it's I almost view it like I view mule deer hunting in Colorado in September. It's romanticized of, wow, I'd love to live at 14,000 feet for a week and see all those sweet sights and hunt velvet and camp in the clouds. And yeah, Instagram shows you all that cool, awesome shit, but when people actually go do it, it's, oh my God, this is 99.9% a suck fest. Holy shit, this is hard. Hunting hunting a giant buck, it's great to take the hero shot behind a buck that you hunted 40, 50, 60, 70 days, or you've hunted 3 or 4 years over. I mean, you've got multiple bucks that it's been a couple years of watching, couple years of chasing, and it's awesome to get that picture behind it with your tag wrapped around. But what a lot of people don't realize is it takes a very dedicated, calculated personality type to even attempt to do that, because of the patience, the grind, and the willpower to not settle for another deer. It is a different man's game. I honestly view it as, you know, there's guys out there that love whiskey. You're one of them. Like, you're a whiskey, you know, you and Ross love old fashions. You guys can drink bourbon and whiskey and all that. And you guys are like, hey, we love that. You're not just claiming it. You're not just claiming it. You guys drink it. And you can drink it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there is no bullshitting. There's a lot of guys out there, though, that'll say, I love whiskey. They take one shot and that's it. Well, that's the end.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't drink beer.
Right. And I look at it in the hunting world with, you know, there's guys that hunt a specific buck and they love to do it. And that's kind of their game. And there's guys that say that they love to do it, but they really don't do it. It's not for everyone. And people find that out very quickly. And I think that's really intriguing. So I want to dive in, Austin. When did you start with one buck? What made you want to do that? What are like the pros and cons, I guess, in your mind as to why you like to play that game? Because you and I talk a lot about specific deer we're chasing, whether we're at a trade show, we're at a bar, we're at an event together. We're always bouncing back and forth off of, man, look at this buck. Next year, he's going to be my buck I'm going to go after. Well, what's he been doing for the last couple of years? You know, we're always going back around in this circle of certain bucks, specific bucks. So I know you're ate up with it just as much, if not more than me, but what's really driven you to that point? At what point were you like, man, I want to play this game. This is the game for Austin. Like, when did that kind of start? What made you want to do that? And why have you fallen in love with it? And that's kind of what you do damn near yearly now.
Yep. Well, looking back on it, trail cameras play a big part of what I do as far as targeting big mature deer.
Yep.
And, you know, you look back on it, and when I started in 97 and 98, you know, trail cameras weren't really used, or at least I didn't use them.
Right.
So even though I was probably targeting big deer back then and just, you know, I just didn't know what they looked like. I was looking at big bugs, and I was looking at big tracks, and, you know, you put the time in doing that, and then you see one feeding in the field 200 yards away, and you try to target them that way. But the game's changed a little bit, you know, as these years progress, and now cell cameras are the thing, and
yep.
You don't even have to step foot in the timber anymore to know what's going on. So it's really changed a lot in the last 20 years. I guess the turning point for me probably would have been probably around 2009, is when I kind of started figuring things out and using cameras and really starting to hone in on specific gear. And ever since then, I've pretty much been able to get at least one of the bucks I was after every year. Here in Illinois, we can kill two of them. So a lot of years, I'm fortunate enough to kill a couple of the deer that I'd like to.
Lucky bastards.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword.
No, it is.
If I was in Ohio and I had to just shoot one, honestly, my wall would probably be a little more impressive, because a lot of these deer that I doubled up on, if I would have just been able to shoot one, you know, the other deer would have made it another year. It'd probably look a little different up here, but...
No, it is a double-edged sword, and that's a good way to put it. I mean, it definitely helps our state out by having one buck tag, and there's a lot of 3 and 4 year olds that get saved because guys are picky, and that is a good thing. But I like what you said, though. I think trail cameras, Austin, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, that does play a huge role in knowing what's out there and knowing, okay, here's a buck that's 3 or 4 with the potential to blow up and be a mega giant. We're going to take him off the list. We're not, you know, I think it definitely, I agree with you 100%. 2009, I think, is when you said you kind of started to play the, okay, I'm going to target a buck. What, in your opinion, is the biggest challenge? Or what would you say is the hardest thing about playing this game that we're talking about? Because I think right off the rip, people that are listening to this that maybe have tried it and failed, or want to continue to do it and they've got their mind set on it, or they this is the year they're gonna only hunt one buck, you know, it's a different journey than the guy that's just looking for any good buck. It's a very different journey, and I want to be very upfront with how you feel about what makes this hard, because it is hard. It's rarely do these bucks pop out on opening day or opening week or even the first month, and it all goes as planned, and you kill it, and you wrap your tag around it, and then you go party at the bar for the next week. That, I mean, does that happen? Yep. I've killed my biggest buck to date on the opening night in 2016. But that is the only time out of all my bucks that that has taken place in the first month that easy. I mean, that's just, it's great that it happens like that, but it's, you don't want to put all your eggs in that luck basket, because that was, there's a lot of luck involved in getting it score that early, that quick. So,
oh yeah.
You know, as you know, I mean, you know, as you know, but what's the toughest challenge, or what's, you know, let's throw it on the table right off the rip, Austin. What is, in your opinion, what is the hardest thing about a specific buck, whether you've been trying to do it, this is the first year you're going to do it, or you're a guy like me and you, and this is what we do every year. What's the toughest challenge in your mind? And I mean, obviously passing other bucks, obviously, is probably what a lot of people are going to think is the hardest, but I've got a feeling you're going to have more to that story than just that. So,
yep. I think the hardest part for me is just finding a caliber of an animal that I'm interested in.
Yep.
You know, the longer, yep, I do this, the more I'm letting, you know, 150s and 160s walk. And it's, you know, you're looking at a caliber animal. When you're talking, you know, gross boon animals, they're just so rare, they're hard to come by. I'm running across, you know, a couple thousand acres of prime hunting ground looking for one or two of these things. I mean, you know, once I can get one located, then I think that's half the battle, is just finding it, the deer that I want to harvest. A lot of times you'll take a big deer out and you'll have a new one show up that kind of surprises you. But for the most part, most of my deer that I shoot, my big deer, I've known them from years prior and have some history with them. So that makes it even sweeter when you get to kind of watch them grow and have some encounters with them. But I think that's the hardest part for me, is just actually finding like a deer that I would want to wrap my tag around.
No, I agree with that 100%, Austin. I think people are going to get, are probably going to get almost tired of me saying, yeah, I agree with you, because like I said, Austin and I are pretty damn similar on a lot of things when it comes to the whitetail world, outside of probably calling. You and I are pretty freaking similar on pretty much about everything when it comes to tactics and methods and different things. And I couldn't agree with you more. I think, from my standpoint, that caliber, the caliber ladder that Austin has climbed, that I've climbed, you know, that takes time. And that's something that I want people to really think about. You know, this isn't Austin's fifth year doing this. He's got a wall that's, you know, I mean, you've got 120s all the way up to 200s, and many of them in every category. At this point in the game, you can be as picky as you want, because you've climbed the ladder and you've got all these bucks under your belt. One thing I don't want people to take away from this, because I'm the same way, I'm in that same boat as you, I don't want people to think that it's an inches game, or it's got to be a 7-year-old buck, or hey, your goal could be, I want to shoot a 20-inch wide 8-point, and you find him and he's 3.5, and that's your target buck. Like,
yep.
You know, we don't give a shit. I mean, you can do, nope. You know, you got to do what makes you happy. And I want people to, yep, you know, and I know, Austin, you feel the same way as me. We cheer on, yep, everybody that shoots a deer that's proud of it. Just don't kill a buck and not be proud of it. That's when I get pissed.
Oh, for sure. And everybody, like you say, everybody's got their own goals.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, my goal has always been, like, I've always been an inches guy, but
yep,
I hunt a lot. You know, I get time to hunt,
right,
so I can afford to be picky. You know, a lot,
yep,
of guys don't get to do that, or they don't have the experience or whatever, and I would never dissuade somebody from shooting a,
nope,
deer that they were happy with. You know, build up that experience, and then after you've done it for 20 or 25 years,
yep,
if that's if you think it's a goal of yours that you want to be picky and go after 5 and 6 year old deer that are 160 plus, then, you know, so be it.
But, well, and
you know, everybody's got different goals.
Absolutely. And, you know, if your goal is I'm going to target a specific buck, I don't give a shit if it's a 6 point that you've found in the summer and you think he's got a cool rack, or it's a 150 inch 8 point that is a giant mega eight that you're after, whatever the case may be. If you're going to play this game, it's all about what you want. That's the biggest thing to look at here is, you know, Austin's describing what makes him tick. You're going to hear me describe what makes me tick. But in all reality, anyone can hunt a specific buck and gain from this episode with what we're doing. Doesn't, you know, this isn't just, oh, it's got, okay, well, it's got to be a booner, because that's what Austin and Clint are looking for. You know, all this will apply to from a freaking 2.5 year old all the way up to a 10.5 year old. You know, it's the same principles. Austin, what do you think? So when I started hunting a specific buck, it really taught me how much I didn't know about whitetails. I got my ass kicked very hard and very fast the first few years I did it. I thought I knew a lot about deer. I thought I knew a lot about bucks, and I found out real quick, honestly, I didn't know a damn thing. Did you experience kind of that same, like, wow, this is a freaking eye-opener here. This is not, I thought I knew a lot about deer, but I'm now hunting this one buck, and he is really kicking my ass and teaching me a lot. Because honestly, I feel like that is why I am successful now. Because I took a few hard years of not filling tags and hunting specific bucks, and I had opportunities and I either screwed them up or I moved a piece when I shouldn't have moved. You know, my puzzle did not match up with the pieces and it cost me, but that taught me so much more than if I was just looking for any old buck that goes 130 plus type of deal.
Oh yeah. Failure is the best way to learn. I mean, that's how we all learn.
Right.
I think it's just a persistence game, and you and I both understand this. You know, if you blow your opportunity or you bump him or whatever, if things don't go your way, you know, the first couple times going in to hunt him, a lot of guys give up and move on and go to a different deer.
Right.
Whereas
right.
that's what makes you and I tick is the persistence in the long game. And I figured that out, like I said, around 2009, 2010, when I started hunting these cameras, looking at specific deer on a farm, you start playing your cards right and being patient and know when to go in. And then, you know, you get to see him or you don't get to see him. You keep doing it. You keep tweaking your game plan. And eventually, I've been pretty fortunate, whereas almost every deer that I've wanted to go after, I've got an opportunity at him. But it takes months to get it done, you know. People have always asked me, if you could tell somebody a new hunter one thing, what would you tell them? And persistence is really what turned the tide for me, just being able to spend a lot of time and just be persistent, hunt that specific animal for a long time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, people hear me talk about, you know, patience, perseverance, persistence, the three P's. I mean, I realistically live and die by that when I've got a bow in my hands and a tag in my pocket, whether it's chasing elk or chasing whitetails. And that all has stemmed realistically from me hunting. Hey, I'm going to hunt a specific buck and this is what I'm going to do. That has taught me the value in all three of those P's. And I couldn't, you know, I definitely agree with you wholeheartedly on what you said, because it's a long game. It's not a short game. Could you get lucky and score the first year you hunt this buck? Absolutely. Could it be the first day of season? Yep. Hell, I've done it. But typically, it is a long game. It's not that short game. You know, last year I spent 76 days, and actually Austin and I, at every trade show leading up till I killed that buck, we went over my trail cam photos and maps and wind. And I mean, I felt like Austin probably felt like when I called everybody that night and said I hit him and I killed him, blah blah. I mean, you were probably one of the ones that almost felt like, Christ, I'm part of this. Like, damn, I feel like I killed that freaking buck, because we had talked about that deer and went over so much, and so much had went into that, you know, trying to figure out where did he go? What's, you know, potentially what's going on here? He disappeared on me. I was racking my brain trying to figure it out, you know, and I went to Austin for, dude, what do you think? Like what's, you know, and we circled back to, let's go back to where he was in the summer. I already had some cameras in place, and lo and behold, I get back from that trade show, and Austin was, I think, the first person I sent the photos to. I'm like, holy shit, he's back. Here he is. You know, we the plan worked to find him, relocate him. But a huge part of that buck last year for me was knowing his habits and knowing the wind that he liked and where he liked to go when pressure hit and where in years past he would go to winter. So how much, Austin, do you think plays on, like, when you're looking at targeting a specific buck, what are you really, really micromanaging as far as about learning about that deer? The wind, the moon phase, you know, what are you really, really, really trying to figure out immediately when you start to, okay, this is my target buck. What's making you tick immediately on, here's what I'm really going to pay attention to? And I'm sure there's a pattern over a lot of your bucks with what you're about to say for an answer, but I want to dive into that. What, okay, you found this buck. It's July. He's got the frame. He's going to be big enough. You're like, the Lord has spoken. He's going to go kill this deer. This is the buck. Okay. What are we now paying attention to? Like, step one, what are you looking at now?
I guess my playbook, if you had to open my playbook and look at it.
Perfect. That's what I want. I want the playbook.
I would get some inventory, hopefully in the early season, you know, something prior to opener, and know that I've got a deer on this farm that I want to harvest.
Yep, absolutely.
That's kind of step one.
Yep, step one. So, I like it.
And a lot of guys go out and hunt a bunch of different farms, and I do hunt a bunch of different farms, but the farm that I always seem to come back to and that I have success on is 160-acre piece. I mean, 90% of my deer came off this 160 acres. So I already know, I kind of know the lay of the land. I know where these scrapes are going to pop up. I know where these mature deer like to bed. So after doing this 15 or 20 times on the same parcel, I'm kind of getting good at knowing what to do and when to do it. But I think you could apply this to any piece. You get in, you take your inventory, you play it safe to begin with, like, you know, prior to season or opener, you're going to go out, you're going to have some cameras set on the fringes, you're going to be glass, and you're going to try to kind of get a pattern on what he's doing between glass and trail cameras. And as, of course, as the season changes, your trail camera placement's going to change as well. But what I like to do is, I am not an October guy, and I know that you like to hunt October, probably more than November. My specific playbook is going to be more early November focused.
Yep.
I don't think there's a better time, or the odds are going to be more in your favor to see that deer in daylight than the first 10 days of November.
Yep.
It can be very hectic. You think you might have that deer picked out on which ridge he's on, and then you go 800 yards away and you got a picture of him over there, and you got a picture of him on the other side of the farm in the same morning. I mean,
you bastard,
that I saw last year was a perfect example of that. He was all over that farm in one night. But in the same breath, I hadn't seen that deer but a couple times up to then, and I was patient and stayed out, and then that deer just started blowing me up, and I'm like, okay, you know, the barometer looks good, the temperatures are right, the moon phase is lining up. Like, you kind of, when all these variables line up, it's like, okay, now's the time I need to get aggressive and get in there and make my move.
Yep.
So that's how I kill a lot of my deer, is just trying to hang back, be patient, watch the calendar, and watch all those factors. And when everything lines up, I get my ass in there and I park it.
Now, I'm going to piggyback off of this. Okay, so you talk about how important it is to get, okay, we found the buck, we got pictures, we got intel. You've got this one track of land that you know very well, have killed a lot of deer on. Okay, how many of these bucks have used that same specific wind to their favor? So, like, on that farm, is there a specific wind that all these bucks over the years seem to be like, okay, this is really what these deer, they love to use this wind. On this wind, this farm just lights up. Because for me, the wind is my number one factor when I'm hunting a specific buck. And I'm sure that's also very high in your playbook, is the wind. What wind does this buck like? What wind is good on this farm for the deer? I don't give a shit what it's, you know, I'm not looking for a good wind for me. A good wind for me is a good wind for the buck. I'm not looking for, oh, this wind's good for me walking in, walking out. Now I'll make any wind good for me. I want to look for the wind that's good for a buck. And I know me and you have talked about this before. You hunt the wind that's great for him and that's probably not great for you, but you got to figure out how to make it okay to where you can still get him killed. But yes, how much is wind? Yes, the old whiskey wind. Yeah. So how much has wind played a factor? Because for me, when I think back to all the ones I've killed with my bow in hand, that have been, I've targeted this specific buck, the wind was always the number one factor. And the wind he liked typically was the wind I killed him on. Outside of a few bucks I can think of that got pressured and moved to a different area and then started using another wind based off that area, there's only a few that predominant wind that I figured out he liked in early season wasn't the wind I killed him on later. There's only been a few of them. I'm interested to hear if you've seen similar results and if that's kind of how the wind has worked in your favor as well.
Honestly, I haven't paid as much attention to the wind as what you have. Mm-hmm. Now, that said, I'll tell you kind of how I play the wind on this specific farm.
Perfect, so perfect.
I've got this thing going for me because I can access this farm from all four sides.
Oh, that's huge.
I get permission to come in from there, so I can't say that there's ever a wind that will keep me out of that farm.
Right.
But you have a good idea of which wind you're going to kill him on.
Right.
But you're just trying to get lucky and hunt on the fringes of the other side of the farm in hopes that you're going to see him, and you know you're safe with that wind.
Right.
So I can't say that I'll ever back out of that 160 because I've got, say, an east wind or a southeast wind, because I've got good spots for that wind, and I can access that farm in a way where I can get in and hunt every kind of wind with it. But like you said, like with Leah's buck, I knew the way that deer was going to access that plot was going to be on a north or a northwest wind night, and that's the night that I killed him, was on a northwest wind night. So I knew in that spot, in that food plot, it was going to be a north or a northwest wind that he was going to come out to that plot in. But with that being said, I could have killed him back in on the east side of the farm with a straight west or a southwest wind, catching him coming back to bed that way. So, I mean, there's more than one way to skin a cat if you want to kill him in the morning versus the evening. But, I mean, the wind is everything, but I can't say that I'm just not going to hunt that deer because I don't have my northwest wind. Like, I'm always going to get in the timber and get after him.
Yep. No, I mean, there's no buck that's going to die when you're in your truck or you're in your house. So, I mean, realistically, you know, having multiple game plans, and that is one good thing about the rut that I do like, is realistically, you know, the rut allows you to have a chance on basically any wind, because let's be honest, none of us have, for lack of better terminology, a fucking clue where this buck's going to be, where he's heading, where he's going. Now, this drives a guy like me nuts, because I'm a October, December, January guy. I like patterns. Yep. The way my brain works, patterns kill big deer, and that's just, you know, I can pattern deer in those months. November, it seems like here, it is just a total clusterfuck. I never know anything because our farms all connect. The neighbor's farm, you know, it's just broken timber, ag field. So, you know, the buck I killed this year, I had 10 or 11 people send me pictures of that deer within the next 3 days after I killed him. I killed him on January 26th. By the 29th, I had it was either 10 or 11 people had sent me videos or pictures of that buck. Out of the 10 or 11, 9 were in November. Out of those 9, 8 never had seen that deer prior to November or after November. The yep. furthest as the crow flies was 5 miles. On a road system, it would have probably been, I don't know, 6.5, 7 miles. So that buck was was absolutely all over the place. He was yep. everywhere.
And that's the beauty of it, and that's the frustrating part
yes.
of it. And it's, when you're targeting a specific animal, it's usually more frustrating than it is when it goes in your favor. But
yeah.
I just can't help but like the chaos of the rut.
Right.
And like I said, these big mature animals do not lay down all day when the rut's on. I mean, they're going to be on their feet more than any other time of year. But as far as predictability goes, you're right. I mean, predictability for me is like December.
Yep.
I like the scent. I like snow on the ground. And Leah's buck was a perfect example of that. I mean, he came out to the wind. I knew he was going to come out on.
Yep.
That deer had been on that plot for one night. I got his picture, and I went in and killed him the next night. After he had disappeared for 30 days. Really
yep.
similar story to your deer. And that's
yes.
like going back to the first part of the podcast, the hardest part is just figuring out where your animal's at. And once
yep.
you do, then I feel like half the work's already done once you figured out where he's at.
No, absolutely. There's no doubt. And I think, you know, with that being said, it just goes to show you were waiting on that deer to make a mistake. You knew you'd turn him up again. And the second you turned him up, okay, here he is. Here's the area. Here's my game plan. And I'm going in. Being always ready and having a plan like I know you do, that right there just shows when it's time to go, it's time to go. It wasn't, okay, now I got to figure out what I'm going to do. I better get shit put together. I better figure out this. No, like, you were waiting for him to slip up.
Yeah, I didn't there by accident.
Right, exactly, exactly. You were waiting on him to show you a flaw in the defense, and I'm going to throw the ball over their head for a touchdown. And that's exactly what you did the very next day.
On that specific deer, it was history with him. The year
yep.
prior, Leah missed that deer at 50 yards with a crossbow out of the exact same line I killed him out of, and he came and he fed in the exact same, he come off the same ridge and fed in the exact same way. I've got the video clips of him coming in one year to the next within a week of each other. So I just had a feeling if I left that spot alone, let it air out, in the late season he's going to move back in, and it got him killed. But a lot of these deer, you know, their creatures of habit.
And yep.
when a deer knows the food source is there in the late season, if you don't get to stick him in November, you know, sit back, be patient, and let him get comfortable and let him start coming to that food in the late season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like you said a couple times in this podcast, and you're 100% correct, it's a long game. It's usually not a short game with these bucks. You know, usually
yep.
you've got to wait until they give you an opportunity to strike and, quote unquote, they fuck up, and now it's your opportunity to go in. You know, my buck was gone for 20 some days, to the point where I had heard a neighbor had hit a giant eight, figured it was him, never recovered. I'm assuming he's dead. I'm almost now starting to look at other bucks because my number one's done. He's gone. That's it.
Right.
I get a tip from my dad that potentially he might have seen this buck at night crossing the road. I go back to a spot where he typically hung out in the winter the last few years. It's also where he likes to summer. Lo and behold, boom, I get a picture on a Tuesday, drop the kids off early to Danielle the next day, go in and hang and hunt and kill him at 5 o'clock that Wednesday. Very similar to your story, and very similar in we both had plans. We both knew, okay, if he shows up, where am I going? What am I doing? What's my plan? When this deer reappears, I'm going to strike right now. And I think that's really important is to, you know, hunting a specific buck and killing a specific buck doesn't boil down to just hunting every day recklessly. And it's a very calculated endeavor. You've got to really know when to make your moves, when to sit back, when to change tactics, when to go in, when to not. You know, there's a lot that goes into it, and that's what makes it fun for guys like you and I. You know, I mean, that's kind of what makes us tick.
Yep.
You know, that's part of the game that, you know, guys like you and Ross Bigger is another prime example. You know, Ross will kill a buck every couple years, but it's a freaking mega giant when he does do it because it's a specific buck and it's a specific pattern and it's a specific deal and he's got history and he's very patient and he's very meticulous. You know, Ross is another prime example of a guy that none of us three are afraid to eat tags. If we have to eat a tag, we have to eat a tag. And if you're going to play this one buck game, I hate to say it, but you're going to eat some tags. I mean, that's just, that's part of it, you know?
Yep. Yep, it's going to happen for sure. But, and that's, but it makes us pull our hair out, but it's also what makes it so much fun at the same time. Like, we keep coming back to last year's story, but it's so appropriate when it comes to this topic that we're on. Both of these big deer, the one I was after and the one you were after, they both winded us and mailed us early in the rut.
Yeah, they did.
And then they disappeared.
Yep.
And it's like, where in the hell did they go? It was so frustrating. I mean, you feel like you're wasting your season. You're just sitting there waiting on him to come back.
Yep.
But I think we both had a feeling other than, like you said, you thought your neighbor had got an arrow in yours.
Yep. But
In most situations, if you know that deer's still alive, it's a patience thing. And if you wait them out, typically, if you've got the food, they're going to come back. And that's why Ross doesn't even hardly hunt the rut anymore. He's the late season guy, so he's going to just wait for them to start hitting the food.
Yeah, no.
Every property is just a different style of hunting, for sure.
Yep, absolutely. And you know, I think this is a really cool topic, and I bow hunting or just quote unquote even just hunting, you know, if you've got multiple seasons on the same tag, by all means, hey, go after him in shotgun, go after him in muzzleloader, hunt him in bow season, whatever it takes. But for me, it's always just, I'm a strict bow guy. That's what I'm doing all year, but I'm hunting the different seasons. I'm hunting the different phases of the actual hunting season. And it's a, you know, there's a lot of differences between October, November, November and December, December and January. You know, there's a lot of different things that are taking place and happening. And it's like you're trying to stay ahead of this specific animal and guess what he's going to do. And that's what we love. But it's also like what you said, it'll make you pull your freaking hair out because you're not looking for just, so, you know, I've got a couple thousand acres like Austin does at my expense. There's a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot, but there's a good amount of nice bucks that a lot of people would shoot that I have walked by throughout the year. There's a handful of really good bucks, but I'm usually looking, like Austin, for that one animal. And it's almost nuts to think about, but if you think about what we're trying to do, you're trying to pick one animal out of the herd, figure out where he eats, where he sleeps, where his hallway is between his kitchen and his bedroom, where he'll go get water, what bar he likes to go look for women at. We're trying to figure all this shit out for one buck. We love it, but that will drive a lot of people absolutely freaking nuts because you are realistically
not only that but we're trying to put an arrow in them versus a slug or you know, whatever. So you're trying to get 30 yards of this specific animal, which makes it even tougher. So it's like pulling a needle with a haystack.
Yeah, absolutely. You're almost looking for a unicorn. You know, you're trying to figure out, you know, where this buck lives and what he does and all these factors, you know, but it's fun though. I mean, and I think looking back, the best thing I ever did in my bow hunting career thus far was start targeting a specific buck because it taught me more about what I'm good at, what I'm bad at, and what I need to work on when it comes to my own self as far as patience, persistence, being a grinder. You know, it has forced me, okay, my goal is I want to hunt a specific buck and kill him every year. Okay, that's the goal. Here's what I'm good at. Here's what I'm not good at. And hunting one buck will humble you real fucking quick. I mean, I got my, like I said, I've had my head popped and my ass kicked many, 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 many times from these bucks that I'm targeting. But the good thing about that, Boston is, you know, it really forces you to up your game every year. I'm always working on my craft. Okay, what do I need to get better at? Is it map study? Is it summer scouting? Is it shooting? Is it this? Is it that? And then that transpires into success when the moment does come. Because there's no worse feeling, and I've been here. You hunt a specific buck. You figure him out. Well, first you find him. Then you learn him. Then you figure him out. You put all the pieces to the puzzle. You're down to the last piece. All you got to do is put the piece in the center of the puzzle. The fucking puzzle's finished. And you flip the thing upside down and you fuck it up. And you miss a shot, or you don't play the wind right, or you do something careless. There is nothing worse than watching that specific buck that you put all this effort into bound away and blow and snort and take off. I mean, that is about as heart-wrenching and just soul-crushing as it gets for a guy like me and you that puts in all this time and effort. But gosh damn, does that make a guy hone and sharpen that frickin' knife. I mean, nothing has made me sharper than those bucks and those lessons. And it's all from hunting a specific buck.
Oh, yeah. You're going to experience lower lows. If you bow hunt now, I think you've hit some lows, and you haven't targeted an animal yet. You haven't hit lows yet. You spend 2 months chasing a deer and crack him in the shoulder. I did that on one in 2012. It still haunts me to this day. It's been 10 years. It can break your heart, but the good usually outweighs the bad. You're going to lose one every now and then, but when it happens, it is so worth going after that specific animal. I mean, I wouldn't do it any other way.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like we've said a couple times, it's not for everybody. If you're a guy that just loves to kill deer, and hey, the first buck that gets your heart pumping, you're going to kill, this is not the game for you. And don't try to kid yourself and try to make it your game because you heard the Lord and Clint talk about it. By all means, you know, people that
we didn't trophy rooms by going after specific animals right off the rip.
Absolutely.
I mean, we shot 10 or 15 deer and then started kind of honing the skills. I mean, it doesn't just come the first 2 years.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing I love about mule deer and elk hunting is I'm at the point where I am not hunting a specific bull or a specific buck. Now, last year, I was hunting the barnacle buck with Devin and Martin, and I found him, called Devin and Martin, and then we put this plan together, and I put all my chips in. I wanted one of us to kill that buck. It's the first time in my life, mule deer hunting, that I have basically put all my chips in on a buck, but mind you, it's 240-inch mule deer. I wanted that deer to die. And once that deer died, if it wasn't by my arrow, then I would go hunt something else. But I wanted to throw in all my chips. But I've also killed 3 or 4 really good mule deer. So now I'm at a point where I'm going to start to flirt with maybe falling in love with a specific buck that I find early in the hunt. And maybe I'll start to get a little more picky. Prior to that, any good muley that got my heart pumping, poof, look the fuck out, here I come.
Getting prepared. I mean, you're getting used to arrows at these huge muleys at 70 and 80 yards. I mean, you're not going to go out and try to target a specific animal on your number two when you're not used to doing that. And that's the same concept with whitetails. You got to get your feet wet first.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's always funny. Me and Devin Leonard hunt together a lot, and we have two totally different outlooks. You put a 170, 180 in front of me, and I'm telling Devin, get on the glass, watch him, I'm going in. I don't even need to look at that buck again. Devin, because he's killed 4 or 5 over 200 inches on public with his bow, he will pick apart a typical 190 and find a reason why it's not big enough. Meanwhile, I'm over there ready to beat him to death with my loophole spotter. Last year, I remember trying to talk him into killing this buck. We find this giant, 190-some-inch deer, and I knew it. In my head, I'm like, okay, he won't hit 200, but his frame, he looks 200. He looks over 200. But in my head, I'm like, man, I don't know if Devin will kill this buck. And mind you, I'm sitting there like losing my mind. Devin's up to bat. He goes on the stalk. He gets midway through and I'm like, he's going to get real close to this buck. Like, this is going to happen. He gets within 70 yards and comes in and I get a text. Buddy, you're going to be mad, but I don't think I could kill this deer. And I remember, literally, I could have hit him over the head with a fucking boulder, but I get it. Like, I get it. Well, you know, he has played the game and targeted a specific buck and spent years targeting some of these deer and eating tags and eating tags and eating tags. And then finally on the third year after 80 some days spread over 3 years, he kills a 230 or he kills a 220. You know, he's got, like I said, four or five that gross over 220 with a bow on arguably the hardest unit in the country to kill a big mule deer on.
Well, it's a cool thing to watch a guy. I mean, he's truly an artist. Like,
oh,
he's at the top of,
yep.
As far as mule deer hunting goes,
yes.
It doesn't get any better than that. And,
yes.
And you and I, and they're like, I'd give my left nut to have a 160-inch muley. I've
yep.
never shot a muley.
Yep.
So it's fun to watch guys that are really good at their craft. It's fun to watch them work. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but like when it comes to whitetails, you and I are kind of, we've climbed that ladder, you know. We
yep.
put our time in. We're starting to get decent at it. We're not on that Mark Drury level while we're passing 180s yet, but
no.
Hopefully someday it'll get here. But no, it's, you can always appreciate a guy that has put in the time and the effort and has got to that point in his career.
Absolutely. Very well said, Austin. And I think a lot of hunting a specific buck or a specific animal, what I want people to gain from, I guess, more or less gain from this than anything, is if you're going to play this game, you got to stick to it. Because it's going to frustrate you and it's going to make you want to quit. But the risk and reward, when you finally do it and you finally kill that first targeted buck, it will, for a lot of people, now there's some that'll do it and say, fuck that, I'm never doing it again. That's just not for me. But a lot of people that do it, over the years, people have seen, there are, you know, they've read the articles. I write about it a lot. I talk about it a lot. I've had a lot of people message me a picture of this buck. Dude, first ever buck that I targeted, found him in the summer, did this. 99% of those people, first off, I'm like, in all caps, fuck yes, I'm stoked for him, because I know what that means. I've been there. I know how special those moments are. My very next statement is, did you fall in love with the process? 99%.
Yeah, you're going to do it
again. Yep. 99% of people are like, Clint, this is probably the only way I'm going to do it now. This is worth the absolute chaos and the drama any day of the week. This is worth it. Like, I hunted this buck 2 years. I ate a tag last year. But to finally beat him at his own game, I've never experienced nothing like it. And for me, fuck, I got goosebumps just talking about it. For me, That puts it all into perspective for me. When I hear a guy say a statement like that, that's a guy that really appreciated the journey and fell in love with the process and the grind. Because it's not just about find a buck and kill a buck. You are damn near falling in love with this fucking animal like you do your wife. And there's going to be people on there that are going to be like, oh my God, he's comparing finding a buck to his old lady. And what I mean by that, though, is you are learning absolutely everything you possibly can about this animal, and you're trying to damn near live with it. Just like you are if you start dating a woman. You're trying to figure out what she like, what she doesn't like, all this stuff. It's almost like you're trying to become best friends with this freaking deer. And I know that sounds nuts to people that don't do it, but it truly is what you're doing. I mean, and it's, I've always said, you got to be a little bit psycho to hunt a specific buck year in and year out. Like, it's not, I mean, you've almost got to be a little bit off your rocker upstairs to enjoy that process, because it's a grind.
It is. tough, and like you say, guys that do it are just wired a little different, but and having the time to do it is another thing. You know, it's a handful
absolutely
of guys that are not only wired to do it and enjoy doing it, but also have the time and the family that will let them do it. And it's tough, man. I mean, not a lot of guys are doing it, but I think for me, it's fun to get trail camera pictures of the 10 bucks on the farm and to watch them all come out to the plot. But
yep,
when the one comes out, there's no other feeling like it.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you brought up time, and that's a huge component to this. You know, if you're a guy that only gets to hunt 5 or 6 times a year, honestly, I'll be the first to tell you, hunting one specific deer is probably going to not be a lot of fun for you, because how many opportunities in a week's time are you really going to, I mean, you know, I would probably rather just, hey, I'm going to shoot the first good buck that gets me excited. That would be how I would probably play that, 100%. And there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. You know.
If you have 2 weeks, if you can take 2 weeks off of work,
yep,
it's in most years, if you don't get it done when you want to early, like it's probably not going to be enough time. I mean, when I look at my wall, a lot of these deer take 30, 40 days of hunting.
Yep.
Killed.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's not for everybody.
No. I mean, I've had some absolute grinders. You know, last year was 76 days. The big six that I killed. Yeah. You know, the big six that I killed back a few years ago. That deer was like 9.5, 10.5 years old, been around forever, found him in a spot that I knew he was killable, and that was the only deer I was going to kill. And hell, Brian Barney was out that year and hunted with me, and I had him in that on that farm hunt, named Skyler and Nicole Richards, good friends of mine from Utah. They were out that year. They almost killed him. They had good video. I spent 92 or 93 days that year. I killed him January 19th, hunting that buck. It got to the point where, I mean, it was just ritual in my life to go hunt that deer. Hunted him September, hunted him October.
How weird is it once you put an arrow in him and 3 days later, you're like, you look at your phone and you're waiting for the picture, or you're looking at the next cold front coming in, and you're like, wait a minute, he's in the back of the truck.
Yeah, yeah. And
it's weird when you go out for that long.
Well, and you know, I had a lot of people ask me, how did you keep that fun? Because here's one thing that I will tell people. You've got to find a way to make the grind of this fun. If you lose track of having fun, you will not hunt specific deer and enjoy it, and you won't do it very long. It's
take the full appreciation of the sport to be able to do it for as long as we do it. I mean, a lot of guys talk about getting burned out, and there's times like when I'm in the rut and I'm hunting, you know, I'm hunting all but 3 or 4 hours of the day, and I do that for 15 days straight. Yeah, there's times when I wouldn't mind sleeping in and cuddling up next to the old lady.
Right.
But for the most part, when I look at our season as a whole, at the 3.5 month season, I can hunt 80% of that, and I don't feel burned out at the end of it. Like, I'm still enjoying it. The day that I don't enjoy it is probably going to be the day that I sit on the couch and watch football.
Right. Well, and the thing is, you know, to jump on what you just said and kind of ride it into the sunset, I mean, you've got to enjoy the process of this. And I think it's one of the most overlooked aspects to hunting a specific animal is you have to have little mini battles that you win that keep you going. Like for me, if I see my target buck, that's a win. If I get to see him in daylight, that's a win. In my mind, I'm winning. I won today. I'm a step closer. I learned something. If I get a trail cam picture of him in daylight, like you've got to find ways to where it feels like you're building this house board by board, but every board is one board closer to the finish line. And you've got to find ways to, okay, I have got pictures of him in daylight on this farm. That's good. That's a win. Okay, I saw him in daylight in person yesterday. That's a win. You've got to find ways to keep the fire lit. And like this buck last year, 76 days, the big six, you know, was 90 some days. I mean, I only missed a handful of days to go hunt mule deer in November with Devin, and for a couple days when my kids were sick. And realistically, I mean, that was it. Like, that was it, you know. Everyone's always asked me, how in the hell did you not get burnt out? Well, I saw that deer in daylight 7 times before I killed him, and I had over 100 photos of him in daylight. Now,
yep.
Those little victories are what kept me going, and they are what kept me motivated to continue to go and continue to fight the good fight, because that was a complete chaotic fucking disaster from day one till January 19th when I killed him. It was ups and downs. I was at full draw on him a couple times. It was the highest of highs, lowest of lows. You know, the neighbors were hunting him. He was shot at in gun season. His buddy got killed in the rut. I was on pins and needles the entire season, but I found ways to have these little mini battles. And by winning these little mini battles, it really kept me motivated day after day after day after day to keep hunting this buck. And finally I got my opportunity at 37 yards quartering away, and I made it count, you know. But it's those little battles that, you know, you've got to, for me, I call them little battles. You got to find ways to win little battles to stay in the long game. You know, we keep talking about the long game, but that's really what this is. It's not a sprint. It is a very, very slow, methodical paced jog, usually, to go find and kill one of these big deer. And you and I have figured out how to basically last in the long haul. And I mean, you know, I've always said, I'm not going to be in a whitetail woods or on a mountain. I will not be the fastest, the strongest, the best shot, the smartest, but the one thing that I always lean on and I pride myself on is, I'll be goddamned, nobody will work harder than me. And in my mind, there ain't anybody out there in the woodlot or on the mountain that can outwork me. And that's what I lean on. I lean on just the grind and the persistence of day after day after day after day after day, month after month, if I have to. I'm going to keep chugging along until finally I'm looking for one opportunity. Give me one chance to bend the limbs back. That's all I'm looking for. And I think guys like you figured that out very early. If I plug along, I plug along, I plug along, sooner or later, you're going to get your opportunity. And then it just comes down to what's between the ears, making the shot count. And that's all she wrote, folks.
Yep. You nailed it, man. I mean, those guys with that kind of work ethic and that determination, and to view it, I view it almost as a chess game. I like the way you referred to it, as these small little battles that you're winning, and that keeps you motivated. I've always looked at it like a chess game, you know, you're gonna regress some days, and then you're gonna advance some days. You're gonna move pawns. You're gonna make moves. Sometimes you don't even know if it's the right move.
A lot of times, when
all the pieces. When all the pieces start lining up at the end, and you're like, "Holy shit, I'm going to make checkmate tomorrow night when this wind comes in from the northwest, and there's 3 inches of snow on, and he's coming into the brassicas that I planted in late August." Like, when all that shit comes together, and you send that arrow, and it disappears behind the shoulder, I mean, that's checkmate. So that's the way I've always viewed it, as a chess game, and. You know, that's what keeps us going. It's a game, and that's why I guess we don't get burned out on it, because we're not done. We're in the process of playing the game until that arrow is released.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, chess game, checker game, you know, just putting it in those terms, I think, is a great way of looking at it, because, you know, there's times in, like, let's say checkers, where you're going to sacrifice a checker to get jumped in hopes that your opponent does jump you, but it's then going to set up your next move and you're going to jump him double, or you're going to put him in a position where he's just screwed himself on half the board. And it's almost like you're going to go backwards one to hopefully get ahead two. And sometimes that's just how you got to look at it. You know, this year I had that, you know, the giant eight. I made the judgment call to get aggressive, snort wheezed at him. I knew the wind was dicey out in front of me. He's hot. He's aggressive. I snort wheeze. Here he comes. He gets to 15 yards. Long story short, he blows. He blew 300 times up that hill.
And you're hey, because I make the call.
Oh, I called you immediately that morning, and was just I've never had a mature buck act like that. The only good thing about that morning, and this is how I looked at it, because I'm a psycho, and I had to figure out a positive way to make. So I didn't jump off a bridge. I had to find something positive about that morning. It was November 7th, day after my birthday. I'll never forget it. I said, okay. I saw the bedding area he came from right at first light, and when he blew at me, he headed back there. So the only positive to this whole clusterfuck of a morning was I now know, right now, present day, that buck is still bedding and hanging out where he was hanging out early season. That little bit of info ended up actually being how I placed camera and then went and did a hang and hunt the day I killed him, based off of that ridge, based off that bedding, based off that knowledge of, okay, he did this early November. He was still on a similar pattern as he was in the summer where he was bedding. Maybe he has returned back to this south-facing slope. Now it's cold as hell, 2 foot of snow. Maybe this is where he's at. Lo and behold, that's what it was. But, you know, that in my mind, I had to figure out, okay, you know, yes, this sucks, but one little battle here is he did just give away, for sure, you saw it with your own eyes, where he was bedding. He got up and moved your direction, and then he went right back to it when he figured out there was danger. So in my mind, it sucked. Oh my God, that was brutal to watch him do that. But a little battle was won that day because it did tell me a small piece to the big puzzle. And like I said, you've got to figure out how to win little battles and make moves that are going to put you ahead. You can't be negative, you know, the attitude, like Austin, you're a prime example. I mean, you're never negative. You're always finding positive. You're always going to plug along. Ross is the same way. You know, I try to be that same way. You look at the Devin Leonards and the Brian Barneys and all, and you know, all these guys, it's always, I'm going to plug along, positive. That's a huge characteristic to this game. If you let the mental state that you're in go downhill, you will not hold out for your target buck, and then you're going to do the big boo-boo, which is you shoot you get pissed and you shoot the wrong buck and you walk up to him and you know you let yourself down, and there's nothing worse than that. There's nothing worse.
And a week later, your target buck standing in front of your camera.
Oh, you know, the end of this podcast is always, for me, don't fucking settle. And, you know, a lot of that comes from this hunting one animal deal that I've fallen in love with, because there's a lot of days where that has to play through my mind. Hey, here's a 160, a beautiful buck. He's at 20 yards. But he's not the buck. And I have to even tell myself that. Hey, he looks great. It's going to feel great to put an arrow through him. But you're going to walk up to him and be like, damn it, Clint, damn it, you settle. And, you know, and that's something that's tough. That makes this aspect of bow hunting mature whitetails, targeting one buck, that is very, very hard to do. But
I think that's the toughest part for me. For me, it's not like the hours that it takes. I mean, I'm ready for that and I enjoy that part. But when I've got, like last year, I had a low to mid-50s 8-pointer come by at 25 yards.
Oh, man.
Just begging for it. And I'm like, if I shoot this deer, I've already tagged my first one. If I shoot this deer, Leah's buck going another year. And I don't want to do that.
Yep.
So I had to let that deer go, and I did not want to. I mean, he was 23 wide. He had 8-inch brows. He's just a big old 8-pointer. But the fun part is when you do that, then you get to hunt him the next year. So if you can stick to it and stick with your number one, usually you'll have the resources to do it every year.
Absolutely. It definitely pays off if you can stay in the game for the long game. Without a doubt, like you said, you know, it definitely has its pros and cons, but it's a long game and it's a fun game. And for those that do it, I feel like most guys really appreciate it and really enjoy it, and they fall in love with the process. But, well, Austin, man, we've covered a lot with this, and it's exactly how I was wanting this to go. I mean, we've went back and forth. We've kind of went through how both of us tick when it comes to this. I've absolutely can't thank you enough. Loved having you on. It's been a great conversation. Man, where can people find you? I mean, throw out the social and stuff. You know, man, my God, your Instagram. If anyone wants to look at Big Deer, and lots of them, go look at the Lord's IG. I mean, hey, proof's in the pudding. If you listen to us and think these guys are full of shit, go jump on the Lord's Instagram, and I guarantee you we'll change your mind. We do know a little bit about what we're talking about, and the Lord's a prime example of that. But give us where can people find you? Obviously, Working Class Bowhunter Podcast, you're damn near on every week, or pretty close to being on every week. Kurt would like you to be on every week and every episode, that's for sure.
Well, I get up there as often as I can.
Yep.
Still got to do the family thing, so I don't make it up every week.
Absolutely.
But, my Instagram is AustinChandler1197, and I do have a Facebook account, but I don't use it very much. I share podcasts on there every now and then.
Yep.
But I don't really post much on Instagram, but when I do shoot a big buck, he goes on there, so I've got all of them on there. But
There's a couple of them on there, Austin.
I've got there's a few in there, but no, man, it's been a riot. I've had a lot of fun, kind of maturing as a hunter through the years. And
yeah.
I would say where you and I are at right now on targeting specific animals, you know, it's kind of, in my opinion, that's about as tough as it gets. So, We're just to the point where we're ready to eat the tag if we have to, if we don't get it done on that deer, but that's fine. We've definitely earned our spot, I think.
Absolutely. Hey, if I'm getting put in the same category as the Lord, that's about as good as a compliment as I can get. So I'm going to take that and run with it. That's for damn sure, buddy.
You're definitely there.
Well, if I got to pick a quarterback for my big buck killing football team, buddy, you're probably going to be number one on that list. There's no doubt in my mind. So I can't thank you enough for coming on, man. It's been fun.
That was a great time, buddy. The next time we'll do it in person and we'll have a drink. You can have your Bush Light and I'll have my Old Fashioned.
Man, I'm really trying. I'm really, really trying hard to gain the taste and just gain the enjoyment of the Old Fashions. I'm working on it. It's a long game. It's kind of like hunting a specific buck. It's not a short game. It's a long game. I'm really trying. I'm putting in effort. I hope I can get there. Don't know if I'll ever reach the level. Actually, I know I won't. There's very few humans alive that could keep up with you and Ross. When it comes to Old Fashioned drinking, Devin and I tried it in bear camp a few years ago and damn near died. So I'm not going to try to get on your level, but I would like to at least be able to enjoy what you enjoy for a little bit from time to time. That's my goal. That's my goal for my long game in the Old Fashioned race is I just want to be able to enjoy them as if you and Ross would enjoy it. You know, I'm not going to drink as many, but I want to enjoy one or two like you guys.
One or two. That's what it's all about. You don't need to guzzle down.
Yes, I like that, my man. Well, hey, thanks again. We'll catch everybody next week. As always, appreciate the hell out of all the support. If you haven't already, we got new hats, new shirts. Go support this podcast. Support WCB in general, the Drury series, everybody. Buy a sticker, buy a hat, buy a shirt, be a Patreon member. Hell, go support our man Steve-O. You guys know what to do. Don't fucking settle. We'll catch you next week.
Can you say the letter C? CNC Hunt Files.